Okay, I would like to call the meeting of the House Committee on Rules to Order for Wednesday, February 18th, and open a public hearing on House Bill 2058. Erin, will you explain the measure?
Yes, Madam Chair, House Bill 2058 removes June 30th, 2015 sunset exempting registered lobbyists from reporting to Oregon Government Ethics Commission money spent on lobbying other registered lobbyists. The exemption does not apply if person lobbied is legislative official, executive official, or other member of state board or commission. There is an emergency clause on this measure. We have no revenue impact, there is no fiscal impact issued yet on this measure.
Okay, I would like to, and this is just a public hearing, so I would like to call up Marla Ray from the Capital Club and Ron Berzin from the Ethics Commission.
Chair Hoyle, members of the committee, for your record, Marla Ray, representing the Oregon Capital Club. At the chair's request, I will be very brief. You will only hear from me instead of the cast of thousands of my colleagues. And because she asked me to be brief, I've gotten my PowerPoint presentation down to 40 minutes. Little joke for you there, Madam Chair. It's okay. The bill that's before you is actually a pretty simple bill. The Assembly heard it in 2013. It simply removes the bill before you today, removes the sunset date on the law change that the Assembly made in 2013. That law change was made clear that reportable expenses to the Ethics Commission need not include lobby-to-lobby expenses. They would include, obviously, lobby-to public official expenses, and if a lobbyist were also a public official, for example, to use a bad example, John Chandler, who is on the Oregon Fair Council, if one of us were to lobby him in his capacity as a Fair Council member, that would be a reportable expense, but not me to somebody else when we're sitting around doing legislative strategery. That concludes my presentation. I would be happy to answer any questions.
Are there any questions? Yes, Representative Wilson.
Yes, Chair Hoyle. What is the history of this? I'm kind of late to the party here. And how did this come about?
Madam Chair, Representative Wilson, we had some conflicting advice, or heard, thought we heard conflicting advice from the Ethics Commission to informal inquiries, from the Ethics Commission staff to informal inquiries during the 2013 session. As a result of that, I, on behalf of the Capital Club, sought an advisory opinion. When that advisory opinion came back, the interpretation that we received was that lobby to lobby, because of the definition of other persons in the statute, would be considered reportable expenses. So we sought the law change to make it clear what we all believe to be practice in the past.
Okay, thank you.
And I would also add that the Capital Club has had conversations with Ron and his commissioners, and we have fully cooperated and will in any rewrites that may be coming to the state statutes. We are also very eager to have Ron have the ability to do electronic reporting and get out of this paper business. So we are enthusiastic supporters of that effort as well.
Yes, Representative Barnhart.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In reading this bill, I'm looking at sections 2 and 3. I think I figured them out. Basically, that the rule has a retroactive effect in the event that it doesn't go into effect until after a certain date. I don't have any problem with that. I'm assuming, without knowing this, that the language on lines 20 to 24 on page 1 are either identical to or very, very similar to the material in Chapter 701, Oregon Session Laws 2013.
That is correct.
Okay. So we're not actually doing anything new. We're just extending the effect of Session Law, of Chapter 701, 2013.
Chair Hurley, Representative Barnhart, as I understood it from Legislative Counsel Dan Gilbert, who was apologetic about the length and the language, he said that this bill simply removes the sunset.
Okay.
Because the sunset clause was put in last session when folks thought that there would be an effort to do some statutory rewrites in the meantime.
Thank you. I appreciate, thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate that chance to ask.
Anyone else? Okay, Mr. Berzin.
Yes, thank you, Chair Hoyle, members of the committee. My name is Ron Berzin. I'm the Executive Director of the Oregon Government Ethics Commission. I'm here to speak about House Bill 2058, a bill that would remove the sunset provisions on the exemptions of reporting money spent on lobbying other registered lobbyists and entities that hire lobbyists. The Oregon Government Ethics Commission's position on this bill is to encourage the committee to extend the sunset until 2017 legislative session. The reason for this position is manyfold. Since the implementation of the exemption, there's been no reporting during a full legislative session. The first full year of lobby reporting under this exemption has produced an average of 87.96% of the reports filed reporting no expenditures of food and entertainment for lobbying. In other words, almost 90% of the reports filed with the commission report zero monies expended on lobbying. Secondly, the Oregon Government Ethics Commission is scheduled to launch an electronic filing system that Ms. Ray alluded to beginning in January of 2016. By extending the sunset, the exemption to 2017, lobbyists will have a full year of using this new electronic filing system and then have that robust discussion on what should be filed at that time. But they'll have a year's experience of using the system when we come back in 2017. Thirdly, the new electronic filing system is designed for ease of use, eliminating the current paper reports that again was alluded to, and the mailing process is necessary to file. At the end of each quarter, a lobbyist will simply submit the report electronically containing all monies expended. Lastly, the commission will be able to capture data from a full legislative session by extending into 2017, our current full session, we'll be able to have the data from this session that we're in currently. This data can be used for a decision in 17. I look forward to a robust discussion in 2017 on the content of lobby and entity reports. So lastly, somebody had asked me, you know, why this is important to the commission. And in 2014, I talked about a percentage of reports that don't have any lobby expenditures on them. But the commission, the entities that report, that hire lobbyists that report to the commission, reported over $26 million in expenditures in 2014. $92,000 was actually reported on the lobbyists. So the entities had reported $26 million, $92,000 of that made it down into the lobbyist reports. And so, I know this has been deemed as eliminating the lobby to lobby, but what it essentially does is it excludes it down to legislative and executive officials. And as we all know, being legislative and executive officials, that we are all part of the gift limits that were brought in 2007. And so we're restricted to receive up to $50 in a calendar year. So I just think that, well, I believe that a lot of the, there just isn't a lot of money being spent on executive and legislative officials being reported. And I think that's illustrated through the reports that came in 2014. But again, we have no data for a full legislative session. Thank you.
So, Mr. Berzin, is there any reason to think that we couldn't have a robust discussion after everything goes online if this bill passes?
Chair Hoyle, I don't think we can always have robust discussions.
That's been my experience.
But I also believe by extending this out, there still will be the commitment to have that discussion in 2017. In the absence of the sunset clause, in other words, if this sunset goes away, What will bring it back in 2017? I don't mean to ask you a question Madam Chair, but that's my question to...
To Ms. Wright, would you care to respond to that?
Chair Hoyle, we have committed to working with the Ethics Commission as the Capital Club members, as well as the legislature. We exist for the reason of professionalism in the legislative advocacy world. We have our own ethics cops, if you will, within our organization. From our position, we would simply remove the sunset because we know the discussions are coming forward anyway, and with newly appointed and newly inaugurated Governor Brown calling for a look at ethics, I presume everything is going to be on the table, including the extent of lobbyist reporting. I offer that the reason that the expenses on legislative and public officials has gone down is precisely for the reason that Senate Bill 10 was introduced in 2007 that limited those expenses. That's why those have gone down.
Questions or comments from the committee? Mr. Berzin?
Say thank you.
Ray?
I'm done.
Thank you so much.
The PowerPoint was really cool, by the way.
I know.
It was
there was another 30 minutes.
I know.
Testimony we were looking forward to.
I do you nothing but favors.
Thank you. We are not going to, this is just a public hearing so that we can look into this further. I will close the public hearing on 2058 and open a public hearing on House Bill 2374. Erin, will you explain the measure?
Thank you, Madam Chair. House Bill 2374 makes payment for signature gathering for initiative or referendum petition based on number of signatures obtained for violation of wage and hour statutes. It imposes civil penalty for the violation. There is a no revenue impact, a minimal fiscal impact. No statement was issued on the underlying measure.
Paloma Sparks. Please identify yourself for the record.
Good afternoon, Chair Hoyle, members of the committee. For the record, I'm Paloma Sparks from the Bureau of Labor and Industries. Thank you for the opportunity to testify today in support of House Bill 2374. This bill would give the would make the existing prohibition on paying signatures per signature gatherers per signature a wage and hour violation as well as an elections law violation. Currently, we believe that this protection protects not just the integrity of the election and the petition process, but we could also protect the workers who are doing the collecting of these signatures. Right now, the commissioner can inspect all petitions and look and identify problems, but he can't do anything if he sees problems. This would just extend it so that we could take action where we see a violation and protect workers' rights and make sure that they are getting all of the protections under the law. We will work closely with the Secretary of State's office to make rules and figure out how we will both have enforcement in this area, but we think this is a really important protection that we can provide to these workers who are often left without the right kind of protection. And with that, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Questions? Yes, Representative McClain.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned that there are two motivations for the bill, one to protect workers, but the first one was to protect the integrity of the initiative system. I gotta be honest, I don't believe you. What is it about what you're trying to do that has any connection to affecting the integrity of a system, which is election law oversight by the Secretary of State? Is the Secretary of State not doing his or her job?
Chair Hoyle, Representative McClain, we think that the existing protection that is in our Constitution is what provides the protections for workers and the integrity of the electoral process. We think that expanding this to a wage and hour law just makes sure that we can stand up for the workers who are doing this work.
Can I follow up? All right. Well, cloaking what is clearly a worker protection bill or advancement of authority of bully bill, and cloaking yourself in the integrity of the voter system is just not well taken. So if you're here to advance worker rights, then just say we're here to advance worker rights. But when you started your presentation, you said the two reasons for this was, number one, the protecting the integrity of the initiative process. And I got to raise my hand. I'm just like, come on, who are you kidding? This is about worker rights and advancement of bully authority. It has nothing to do with the integrity of the system. So why are you using that as an excuse?
Chair Hoyle, Representative McLean, if I gave that impression that we were trying to use it as an excuse, that was not my intention at all. I meant to acknowledge the existing protection as a great tool for protecting the integrity of the electoral process and making sure that we also have the authority to protect the workers who are doing this work.
So is it the opinion of Mr. Avakian that the Secretary of State's enforcement is not enough?
Chair Hoyle, Representative McLean, it is our position with the Bureau that the Bureau could better stand up for workers. We have the capacity and we have the expertise when looking at workers and what they should be entitled to under the law.
Okay, well, I mean, true. No disagreement on that part. Because this is about workers' rights, which is fine. But when you say that part of the motivation for this bill is to protect the integrity system of the initiative process, I'm sorry, I just had to go time out. Come on. I don't believe that.
Yes, Representative Nose.
Well, I just want to respectfully disagree with my colleague, Representative McLean, because I just think that this is a unique situation. Because when workers are exploited around the signature gathering process, I believe there's a potential impact on what happens with our initiative process. Because when we treat this work like piecemeal work, which often it can be, it has implications for what does or does not get on the ballot. And that's pretty important, I think. So there's an interesting nexus here, in my opinion, and I, for one, am glad that we're looking at it, because it seems like we should afford all the protection we can, both from worker perspective and from election perspective, and I think it's a good protection to have with regard to the elections as well. So I'm glad you're bringing the bill forward.
So, and we did not have anyone come from the Secretary of State's office, but Commissioner Avakian has been in contact with, now Governor, former Secretary of State, Kate Brown, and their offices in talking about which office could do this better in terms of worker protection. And my understanding is that they are not in opposition of the general idea that there may be, you may have tools in your office that can better serve those worker protections in terms of investigatory tools that they do not have. Is that correct?
Chair Hoyle, that's correct.
Of course, they're bully. That goes without saying.
Right.
My whole point is not that. My point is that this is not to justify this bill as necessary to protect the integrity of the initiative system is not well taken.
So, and I think she apologized for representing it in a way that you found problematic. Right. What I wanted to clarify was that this isn't boldly stepping forward saying, I think that we want to take these things out of the Secretary of State's office without actually talking with the Secretary of State's office. Because I think that is vitally important. There is a job for the Secretary of State's office. There's a job for the Bureau of Labor and Industries. And what's important is that they are in communication about that and it's not in disagreement. But so I think we're both making two different points, but both valid. Yes, Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Chair Hoyle. I've never been involved in signature gathering, and in the way it's sort of portrayed here indicates that it's indentured servitude somehow. Is there any, and I think we're all familiar with life enough to know that we have tried jobs and walked away from those jobs because we found that the pay was not suitable for us, and so we looked for something else and improved our lot in life. Is there any implied contract or anything like that? I'm not aware of this situation, so that's why I ask. When you sign up to collect signatures here, are you under some kind of contract that keeps you in that job for any particular length of time?
Chair Hoyle, Representative Wilson, an employee can leave work at any time if that's what they choose to do so. In general, nobody, even if you are have a contract for a term, you mm-hmm. can still.
Okay.
For an employee, you could leave employment.
All right. So if you don't like it and the conditions are not right, you're free to go find another job then. The way it is.
Representative Smith-Warner. Thank you, Chair Hoyle. I just wanted to, I think, follow up to that. My understanding in the history of prohibiting by the signature gathering is from the perspective of indeed keeping the system as clean as possibly can be, is that there is an obvious incentive for a worker who's getting paid by the signature to fake signatures. I mean, that's really what this is about. And we already have a by the signature, the by the page. I mean, just think about it. If you're somebody who they said, oh yeah, and if you get 50 signatures today, you get an extra $100 in your paycheck or whatever it is. So that's really the root. That's where the movement to ban the by the signature paying method for ballot measure signature collection came from, which you may already be aware of, but I felt it important to say that because we hadn't really talked about that in this meeting yet. So there's not really a question in there.
Yeah.
I guess it was more of a comment.
Thank you. I was going to say something
Madam
similar,
Chair.
Representative Wilson.
So really then the way we need to interpret this is really just a way to discourage signature gathering by the signature, you know, signature gathering for a price.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
Thank you. I would say more the concept of bounty. It's not discouraging signature gathering. It's encouraging workers who are being paid by the hour, and therefore their incentive is to do the work and indeed to get the signatures, but to discourage the idea of, well, the more you get, the more you'll get paid. So just have people sign, doesn't really, you know, oh, have your brother sign, have your roommates all sign 6 different names, basically to discourage fraud to disincentivize, to use one of my least favorite words, a version of it.
Madam Chair,
yes.
Then this really is something that seems to emanate from the Secretary of State's office, and because this is obviously an election issue, and how the electoral process works.
Representative Wilson, it is in itself the basis of why we wouldn't want to pay for signatures by the signature to give any kind of an incentive for someone to falsify signatures. That should be, I believe, the Secretary of State's issue. However, when we look at which agency has the ability for investigation and assigning penalties and doing investigations of wage and hour law and employees, workers, it really is the Bureau of Labor and Industries, which is why I think the Secretary of State's office and the Bureau of Labor and Industries would both have some oversight over this. Is that correct?
Chair Hoyle, that's correct. It is both an elections law issue and a wage and hour issue, and we think that both offices are reasonable places for having investigatory abilities.
Just to follow up, Madam Chair, it would be, it's unfortunate, it would be good to have somebody from the Secretary of State's office so that we could engage in a entirely different train of questioning here about the issue of paid signature gatherers, and do we have an incredible problem with this or what? You know, I've not heard personally.
And I think that is why we're having a public hearing today. We are not having a work session because I think you said clearly the other day when we're dealing with complex laws, we certainly want to take the time to know that we have all the answers. Apparently, the Secretary of State's office was rather busy today, so they were not able to attend our hearing. But we do plan to have future hearings where they will be there. And I think that with that, we will have a fuller, more robust discussion. Mr. Reinhart, you look like you have some words you would like to share with us, some wisdom. Well, maybe words, maybe wisdom. We will see. Okay.
And I'm Dave Reinhart, representing the Signature Gathering Company of Oregon, which is one of the major signature gathering companies. There are a lot of smaller groups. We work closely with the Secretary of State's office and have since its inception, since the inception of the Signature Gathering Company. A couple things. One, we are very careful in what we do. We do not pay by the signature. We are constantly being monitored in the process of multiple signature campaigns with the Secretary of State's office. We do want to incentivize individuals to gather more signatures, because if we're paying by the hour, somebody can just, and some people do, just sit around and not gather signatures, and we do get rid of them. Sometimes we pay additional money, or we will bump up their pay if they're good signature gatherers. Again, we don't pay by the signature. But we need that tool. What I do worry about, and it's just a worry, is that we already have one organization doing this, and there doesn't seem to be a problem. The problem, Representative Smith Warner, is we do have people that are faking signatures. We've been victimized by that, and others. Others have been victimized by that. That's in the current system right now. It's not a function of paying for it. I mean, I grant you it's more of a problem when you have paid, we are paying by the signature. What I do worry is having an additional agency of government, without casting aspersion, it presents the possibility in an already politicized realm for greater politicization. And
so, thank you, Mr. Reinhart. And I think that one of the issues is that not every signature gathering company is as professional or ethically run as yours, and we have seen that. And
yeah,
on both sides where there have been falsification of signatures or people who are running a company who have had people who then turn in false signatures, which you're responsible for, so you understand that. And as as someone who's managed many people in jobs, I understand that you have to be able to motivate your employees. I think that your concerns are certainly fair, and this is the beginning of a discussion. And what we'd like to do is hear from the Secretary of State's office and talk about where is the best place for this investigatory oversight. Where is the best place for it to happen so that you can have companies exercise their right to get signatures so that people can get initiatives to the ballot. That's vitally important and part of our process, but also ensure that there's fairness to the workers.
Thank you.
And I do appreciate it. So, Representative Wilson, did you have a question for Representative Ray?
Mr. Reinhart, I just had actually two quick questions. Number one, I just wanted to understand the industry a little bit better. And I certainly understand, you know, as Chair Hoyle mentioned, that you got to motivate your employees because that's, I mean, you're here to provide a product. So I was kind of curious about what, you know, dive into a little bit more about the motivations that you do provide. Are there, for instance, you know, in a sales job, you might say you got to sell, you know, $1,000 of merchandise in an hour. And then, so just kind of touching number one on the incentive structures that you put in place for your employees. And then number two, when you do see somebody, you catch somebody and you find out, boy, this person isn't playing by the rules, you know, as an industry, you know, what do you guys do to kind of prevent that? Or on the back end, what do you do? Obviously, I assume that person is like,
yeah, it can be hard to prevent, but we are monitoring. I don't want Representative Rayfield, Chair Hoyle, I don't want to give you our secret sauce, but it's very important for us to get legitimate signatures and also not to have doubles, because you're penalized a great deal by the Secretary of State's office. They throw out hundreds of signatures if you're putting in doubles. So we are monitoring that in a way that we monitor that at the signature gathering company. Other companies may do it differently, and I know some do it differently. In terms of the incentives that we offer, and again, I'm representing the signature gathering company. I am not involved in the day-to-day operations of it. What we do is if we monitor this, their production every week. It's a unique group of young entrepreneurs, and so we are monitoring their validity rates. We are monitoring how their production rates, and if we have someone who's a good producer, we will, and is producing quantity and quality, we will bump them up in terms of their hourly rate. We will occasionally, and we check this with the Secretary of State's office, we will offer, you know, contests for them if they can get a gift certificate or something like that. And we're told that that's street legal. So we, that's what we do. It's, as I said, it's an eye-opening business. But we are really aware of no problems that we've seen, and there may be, maybe you're aware of others that where workers are being victimized. The last thing we want to do is victimize workers because as a result of the legislative action in the past, they are harder to qualify for this kind of work, and they are difficult to keep and even more difficult to motivate.
Representative Smith Warner.
I was just going to ask Mr. Reinhart. So the name of your company is The Signature Gathering Company?
The Signature Gathering okay. Company.
And what is it that they do?
No, pardon
sorry.
Me. Yeah. We try to be blunt in all we do.
Captain Obvious is the name of your president.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. And Rochelle Altman from the Secretary of State's office. Thank you.
And I would also like to call up Alana Cox from our Elections Division, who handles many of the enforcement cases on this matter. Chair Hoyle, members of the committee, Rochelle Altman, Legislative Director for the Secretary of State's office, I guess I'll say at this point. I just want to give a few examples of our primary concern is just inconsistent rulemaking if there's dual enforcement, but we do have a commitment from BOLI. We've had conversations and have a commitment from BOLI to work together to ensure we have consistent rulemaking to have enforcement that would be fair and make sense to parties. A few of the issues, just to provide examples, we would want to ensure that what we consider a violation is the same as what Boley considers a violation. There are different ways to determine what constitutes a violation, such as is one signature collected for pay a violation, or is it by the sheet, which is what the Secretary of State's office, how we currently define a violation. If one agency starts an investigation, do they communicate with the other agency? What is the effect of beginning an investigation on the other agency's investigation enforcement? So these are the types of issues that we would look forward to working with Boley to ensure consistency on.
Representative McLean.
How many cases in the last 2 to 4 years have there been where a initiative proponent has violated this law?
Chair Hoyle, Representative McLean, I'll let Ilana Cox speak to that.
Just identify yourself for the record, please.
Sure. My name is Ilana Cox from the Secretary of State Elections Division. Chair Hoyle, Representative McLean, we didn't have any cases in the last election cycle in 2014. We had a case in 2012 where we issued a pretty sizable penalty. That penalty was upheld by the administrative law judge, and it's under appeal.
And in that one case in the last 4 years, was there any evidence that the workers or gatherers were not paid?
Chair Hoyle, Representative McLean, there was certainly evidence that they weren't paid minimum wage or the wage they were promised. A lot of times, you know, in my experience, if a signature gatherer is getting paid by the signature and they complain to our office, which is what happened in 2012, it's because they're not making very much money getting paid by the signature. You know, they're making far less than minimum wage getting paid by the signature. So I can't say they didn't get paid at all, but we always encourage signature gatherers who make reports to our office to make a report to Boley and make a wage claim to get any unpaid wages.
Representative McLean.
Why do you make a recommendation that a worker seeking redress for the failure to receive proper compensation and signature gathering to Boley if Boley doesn't otherwise have authority in this area?
Chair Hoyle, Representative McLean, we don't recommend that they contact Boley for the violation of pay per signature. We certainly investigate that vigorously. We recommend that they make a regular wage claim like anyone who doesn't get paid for any job, what they were promised to get paid.
So the representative from Boley, is it fair to say then that the signature gatherers already have relief under Boley's authority to seek redress for failure to compensate them according to Oregon law?
Chair Hoyle, Representative McLean. Currently, what they have is the ability to come to Boley and make a claim for unpaid wages. What Boley doesn't have is the authority to, when they identify, because the commissioner right now has the authority to review petitions, when we identify a problem, we are not able to enforce in that area, and a worker would have to come to us specifically and file a complaint.
So there is authority for you to enforce a wage claim against that signature gatherer, but just not authority to go find wrongdoers?
Chair Hoyle, Representative McLean, if a worker came to us and filed a complaint, a claim for unpaid wages, yes, we would have the authority to investigate just the wage claim alone.
So the final follow-up, so then this whole bill really is to give investigative authority to Boley in an area that you already have authority to address and compensate victims, and in an area already enforced by the Secretary of State.
Chair Hoyle, Representative McLean, it's to give us the authority to investigate specifically on the violation of the pay per signature, not just the unpaid wages for the workers.
Any other questions, comments?
I have a comment, Madam Chair. Thank you all for being here. This is my comment, and I need to say this first. I don't like paid signature gathering, so that's my bias. We've all mentioned, I think, at least some experience or some memory of this happening. The actual numbers are, I'm not trying to minimize the incidents, but I don't see the urgency by data or by examples. To me, all workers, certainly these workers, could be tempted to just sit at the grocery store and you come up to them if you'd like to sign, and they have two and they get paid and go home. Or they could be tempted to do what my vice chair has mentioned. But I don't see how this action stops that temptation or that activity. Maybe it does. Maybe you see it as oversight. I missed the connection. I'm sure workers can be tempted. I don't know why this is different than other workers or other situations.
Sparks?
Chair Hoyle, Vice Chair Gilliam, where this is different is that we believe that these are workers that are not likely to file complaints, do not feel empowered to make use of the system right now, and we would like to be able to step in and advocate for them.
That's helpful. Can I follow up to that? Why? Why do you feel like that's happening in this particular working sector?
Chair Hoyle, Vice Chair Gilliam, a lot of these people tend to be very young. They tend to be working for minimum wage, and these are jobs that often they can't afford to lose and that are making just getting by. So we feel like they need a little extra protection.
And lastly, is there data that you're either working from or you'd be willing to investigate or compile? To back that up, or?
Chair Hoyle, Vice Chair Gilliam, what we do have is where we've identified some problems in the past where the commissioner has been able to inspect petitions, and we've identified some workers that were not getting either, that were either being paid per signature or were not getting what they were entitled to under the law.
Anybody else? Questions, comments? And again, we are not moving the bill today. So we'll have ample time to have robust discussions. Any other questions, comments? Okay. I want to close the public hearing on House Bill 2374. And with no further business, we are adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.
And adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.